And welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today from the American Lung Association, Deb Brown, the Executive Vice President of the Lung Association for the Mid-Atlantic Region, and Amanda Carl, board member with the American Lung Association of Delaware. And she's going to be talking about a great event coming up on October 15th, the Lung Force Walk. But let's get started, Deb, with you first. Do you want to give us an overview? What is the American Lung Association, and what's its mission?
Sure. Well, first of all, I want to say more than 32 million Americans live with chronic lung disease every day, things like asthma, emphysema, chronic bronchitis. And so the American Lung Association's mission is really to promote lung health and prevent lung disease. And we do that every day through a variety of programs and offerings here throughout the country, but here specifically in Delaware. We have something called our Lung Helpline, and that is a place where people can call in. They can call 1-800-LUNG-USA. They can go in and they can talk to a registered nurse, respiratory therapist, or certified tobacco treatment specialist if they want to try and quit smoking. We have a Freedom from Smoking program. Again, people want to quit smoking. There's an option. They can quit face-to-face. They can quit online. There's a variety of ways that they can do that.
Well, let's back it up, because you said something that piqued my interest there. You said chronic. And is lung disease something that one lives with, or are we talking about someone who dies with it?
Well, chronic lung disease, no. People live every day with chronic lung disease. Children and adults who have asthma. Asthma is considered a chronic lung disease. We really work our programs to make sure that people know how to better manage those chronic lung diseases. People with emphysema and chronic bronchitis, they're considered chronic lung diseases. So it's really important that we educate caregivers, people who love these individuals. We make sure that they know how to better handle those particular diseases. Lung disease, including lung cancer, is the number 3 killer in the United States. It's responsible for 1 in 6 deaths.
But then, you know, you mentioned asthma, people living with asthma, yet people die from asthma, too. It's, Amanda's nodding her head, yes. We're talking about 32 million people who are living with the disease right now, but is that number increasing?
It depends. That number is increasing. We're starting to see a lot more individuals, particularly women with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease or emphysema. We also seen a lot more women with lung cancer. Lung cancer is the number one cancer killer of men and women in the United States, and the rate of new lung cancer cases in women has doubled in the past 39 years. So we are starting to see these diseases slowly creep up on individuals, and it's so important that the American Lung Association continue to raise awareness and critical funds, research funds, for these diseases.
Well, I visited your website, which is a great website, lung.org, and you work in education, research, and advocacy. And so let's talk about education here. So obviously you're out talking about it today, but is pounding the message home, don't smoke, enough? What's the message that you're trying to get to people to try and prevent lung disease?
I think the message is education and awareness, making sure that people know they do have a place that they can go in the state of Delaware if they want to quit smoking. You know, we not only do quit smoking programs, but we also do something called Better Breathers Clubs. These are for support groups for people who have chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, pulmonary fibrosis, or lung cancer. And their caregivers, we try to encourage these individuals to come meet with other people who have similar diseases so that they can find the support that they need on a regular basis. And they meet in person. We also have something called Lung Force Expos. This particular event looks at the latest trends and research and really tries to help patients, caregivers, and in particular, in this case, healthcare professionals learn more about chronic lung disease and lung cancer. And so we have several of those throughout the area that individuals can sign up for. And then we have a course called Asthma Basics, which is a free one-hour interactive online learning module that people can go and learn more about asthma. As I said, we want them to be able to better control that asthma and really make a difference. And so we have a lot of families, coworkers, and friends who take that course so that they can learn what asthma is and help their family members.
Do people recognize when they have lung disease? I mean, it's easy to say, oh, I'm having difficulty breathing, but can it show in ways that aren't so obvious?
Sure. So, you know, for me, I look at it from a caregiver standpoint. Small cell carcinoma in my family is pretty prevalent, so it's a form of lung cancer. I personally lost my grandmother, uncle, aunt, and my father all to small cell carcinoma, with my dad actually passing away 10 days after he was diagnosed with lung cancer. So when you ask about can you, you know, have lung disease and not even know it, the answer is yes. A lot of times it's attributed to chronic bronchitis or, you know, colds or chronic pneumonia. And unfortunately, one of the, you know, names that lung cancer has is the silent killer, because a lot of times you don't realize it until it's very far along in the process. So, you know, for my father, we went through COPD. We thought we were managing it. He was in the Better Breathers Club and got great information there. But he was diagnosed with lung cancer, stage 4, and had 10 days to fight it. So it absolutely can sneak up on you without any, you know, true recognizable symptoms that you would correlate to, say, lung cancer.
And, of course, it affects people who never picked up a cigarette, a pipe, or a cigar in their life. But let's go around that. Do caregivers and do physicians know to look for lung disease in a case like this? Oh, help out the host here.
Well, no.
Are they at the top of their game? And
certainly,
do you have to work with them as well?
Certainly. That's one of the reasons why we have what we call, as I mentioned, the Lung Force Expos, to really educate health care professionals on the latest trends and latest research on lung disease. Absolutely. Everyone needs more education on these diseases, and it's imperative that the American Lung Association be the provider of that information. So we do a variety of other work. We invest over $6.5 million in research every year so that we can develop new therapies, new diagnostic tools, new treatments for individuals who have, you know, lung cancer, emphysema, asthma. And so it is imperative that we continue that work.
Now, when Amanda was talking about small cells, is it tied to genetics, such as we know now that breast cancer is, and other forms of disease can run in families?
Sure. You know, I'm not a medical professional, so I'll state that from the top. But they are doing a lot of work right now to determine, you know, what genetic markers are associated with lung cancer. And there are different forms. I think you tend to find small cell more prevalent in those who have smoked. And to be quite honest with you, you know, my father smoked but quit 30 years before he was diagnosed. And still developed a pretty aggressive form of cancer. And then you have non-small cell, you have squamous cell. There's all different kinds of lung cancer. And like I said, they are looking currently to see what genetic markers are there that could be identified to help diagnose sooner.
So in the case of like the non-smokers, is it pollution then that hit the person who has the genetic tendency towards it?
Certainly air pollution is one of the contributors, but, you know, as Amanda mentioned, you know, tobacco use or smoking, cigarette smoking can be one. Exposure to secondhand smoke is another risk factor. Radon. People should be testing their homes to make sure that they have that they don't have elevated radon levels.
That used to be, and we used to hear a lot about radon, mm-hmm. and it sort of has slipped off of the radar mm-hmm. lately. And is this still a problem?
It still is a concern, and we encourage everyone to test their home, because one of the things with radon is you don't know that you have radon. It's colorless. It's odorless. You don't know you have it until you test for it. So there are very inexpensive tests that individuals can use to just test their homes and find out. But, you know, genetics, air quality, or air pollution certainly affects individuals' So there are a magnitude of high risk.
Well, then let's back it up and go back to smoking then, or not go back to smoking as the case may be. Mm-hmm. So this is one of the few things that you can do to really make an impact on your health immediately, stopping smoking. But what are the effects on somebody who smokes? Are there other things that smoking causes?
Well, I think one of the U.S. Surgeon General's reports several years ago indicated that just about every organ is affected by someone who uses tobacco products. So you can start from the top of your body and probably work your way down, and you can find that there is some type of consequence as a result of smoking. But usually we hear about the cancers that are associated. People who have other diseases like diabetes or heart disease, you know, certainly they impact their lives if they continue to smoke in a greater way. But we do know that once a person quits smoking, the damage that they've done to their body does not necessarily go away, but it does get better, and that individual does add years on to their lives.
So how does someone stop smoking, and do they ever get to where they were originally, that they improve their lot?
They do improve a lot. And one of the things that we encourage individuals to do is go through a program to use some quit aids if they need them, things like nicotine gum, inhalers, nicotine inhalers. You can get all types of treatment now. And I think that, you know, it's really important to set a date, make sure that you work towards that date. You know, put together a support system, people who aren't going to try and test you to say, hey, you know, look, I'm going to wave a cigarette in front of you and see if that, you know, makes you want to smoke again. But really a strong support system that can help you. And then, you know, really work with someone to help you through each and every day.
And you have programs, don't you? And are those clinics, or do you have one-on-one programs? Do you have tips, et cetera?
Mm-hmm. We definitely have tips that individuals could contact our office, or they can go online at lung.org, and we have materials there for individuals. But we have a variety of programs. We have face-to-face programs. We have online programs. There's telephonic quit programs. So I think we just about address any way someone would like to quit.
And now, when I was on your website, I did see on the calendar of events that you had clinics all over the state. Is this something that the American Lung Association does in every state, everywhere?
We do. Throughout the United States, it is one of our priority programs. And so you should be able to go anywhere and get some type of freedom from smoking program. And as I said, you can call 1-800-LUNG-USA, and that'll put you right with our helpline. And you can talk with a registered nurse or registered respiratory therapist.
Now, is there any charge for taking these courses?
There is sometimes charges in the local level, not in every case, but if you call the quit line, that is a free service.
And, of course, you do have tips for if someone wants to do it as an individual and not tell anybody that they want to quit.
Absolutely. They can go to lung.org, and there is a variety of tips there that would help them quit.
So if somebody has stopped smoking, what are their long-term issues that they have to look for? We heard about the sad story for Amanda's father, mm-hmm. who quits 30 years and develops lung disease. For the person who quits smoking, what should they be at heightened awareness for? Or what should they be doing to make sure that they stay healthy or catch something quick?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, they should always talk with their physician and let them know that they have quit smoking. But there is a new tool available for anyone who meet certain criteria, and it is a low-dose CT scan. And the American Lung Association has recently launched a campaign called Save by the Scan. And the campaign is done in conjunction with the Ad Council, and we are looking to raise awareness about the benefits of lung cancer early detection. And it's really important. One of the most important things with lung cancer is to make sure that you find it early. Once you find and detect lung cancer early, your treatment options increase dramatically. But one of the unfortunate things with lung cancer is that many people don't find it until it's too late.
How often should somebody get a screen?
They should really work with their physician based on their previous history as far as screening is concerned. But if you go, again, to lung.org, Saved by the Scan, you can find a sheet that of materials that will help that individual learn how to talk to their doctor or ask the right questions of their doctor.
This is Focus on the Delaware Valley, and I'm Laura Lewis. With us today, Deb Brown, the Executive Vice President of the American Lung Association Mid-Atlantic Region, and Amanda Carl, Board Member of the American Lung Association of Delaware. And she's also working on this year's Lung Force Walk, which will be coming up October 15th in Rehoboth, and we're going to talk about that. And if you'd like more information, lung.org is the place to go for everything that we have discussed today, lung.org, or call them 800-LUNG-USA. Before we talk about the walk, your father, here he is dealing with lung disease 30 years after he had quit smoking. Did he shake it off and say, well, it's it was expected? And
I don't know if you ever shake that off. I think that, you know, we certainly were keeping an eye on it. And we had lost my grandmother, his mother. We lost his brother, my uncle. And then a year after my dad passed, his younger sister also died. So our family was very attuned to keeping an eye on lung cancer, and yet it still happened to us. And so when you asked earlier, you know, what are some of the things you can do or look for, you know, obviously getting that scan is incredibly important. And again, you know, savedbythescan.org is a great place to go to get information there. But there are other things that we were noticing with my dad. He had chronic bronchitis. I mean, I can't tell you how many bouts of bronchitis he had throughout his life. Chronic pneumonia, multiple bouts of pneumonia that became increasingly worse. He was eventually diagnosed with COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, a few years before he developed lung cancer. And yet he still developed it. He was seeing a pulmonologist. You know, it's something you have to be very vigorous about, make sure that you're constantly seeing your doctor and talking to them. But unfortunately for our family, you know, there seems to be some sort of predisposition to it in addition to the smoking factors.
Well, obviously it takes money to make programs like this work and to offer all of the research and the programming that you do. So tell us, what is the Lung Force?
Yeah, so Lung Force is a great campaign by the American Lung Association that is really focused on reducing lung cancer, particularly in women. So we've seen, you know, over the course of time that for women, there was an aggressive advertising campaign for them to begin smoking in the early and late 80s. And because of that, you've seen a bit of a catch up in terms of women now being diagnosed with lung cancer. So obviously men, it started with the Marlboro Man and, you know, they had bouts of lung cancer, but women were a little behind because of that advertising campaign targeted to them. So,
but then came Virginia Slims.
Then came, yeah, to lose weight and, you know, stay thin, you had to smoke. So Lung Force is really a great campaign, that, you know, fights to reduce, lung cancer and its effects. And we do a lot of fundraising events, but one of my favorite ones is the Lung Force Walk. And it is October 15th in Rehoboth Beach at the Bandstand, 11 a.m. We come together, lots of folks from all over both Pennsylvania and Delaware and Maryland, our whole region. And we walk 2 miles in honor of those and in memory of those who have fought or are fighting lung cancer.
And this is open to everybody, isn't it?
Yes, it's open to everybody.
Ages?
All ages, even dogs. We welcome you to bring your pets as well. There's no cost to register. All you have to do is sign up. If you go to lung.org, you can, you know, look for the Rehoboth Beach Lung Force Walk. You can join my team, which is in honor of my father, and our team name is Each One of Us Can Make a Difference. And, you know, you can raise money, you can meet other folks who are passionate about this cause, or even meet some lung heroes. We like to invite people who are currently battling lung cancer to join us and to honor them that morning as well.
Will you have educational booths, information there? Are you going to do any of that yoga stuff? Or I know you got a dog contest.
We do have a dog contest, and my golden doodle, Lincoln, enters every year. She has yet to win, so maybe this will be her year. But yes, we have various tents that, you know, teach people about all different kinds of lung disease, including lung cancer and asthma. We also have local organizations that come and sponsor the event. So it's a combination, I would say, of fundraising, education, and then just really a lot of fun. You know, I know that Rehoboth Beach is a vibrant community. community, and it's great to go down there in October and walk around the beach. It's still warm enough, and lots of businesses are open for us. So it's a fun Sunday morning in the fall.
And then come March, you got another event.
Yes, March 18th, we have our Caesar Rodney half marathon, and I believe it is the oldest half marathon in the country. So lots of history there. And that is right downtown in Wilmington. So there's a half marathon, a 5K, and a half marathon relay. So if you'd like to only do half the half marathon, you can do that with a partner.
All of that information, is that up yet?
I believe so, yeah. If you go to lung.org and you find your region, you'll find all the information. We're also on Facebook as well. If you just give us a search, you'll find us.
I don't know who to throw this at. Deb, I'm going to guess here. Let's talk a little bit about, now you talked about research. That's one of your goals and what you are working on. But then there is advocacy as well. And, I mean, it took people to say no more smoking on airplanes and no more, let's have smoke-free work environments and stuff. Are we going to give you credit for all of this?
Absolutely. We'll take credit. No, the American Lung Association has been working for many, many years on a variety of advocacy issues, particularly air quality and tobacco control. And so each year we have two signature reports that go out. The first is the State of Air Report, which looks at national air quality, and it takes really complex information and kind of puts it into a simple, quick understanding report card. And this year, the report found that Delaware and states throughout the Mid-Atlantic region have made really good progress in cleaning up air quality. But we really need to keep doing some work and keep sure or make sure that the Clean Air Act is maintained. The second report that we do is the State of Tobacco Control, and that really assigns grades based on whether the state and the federal government protect Americans from the enormous toll of tobacco use. And Delaware has kind of always had a little bit of a mixed bag. We usually do really well in clean indoor air. We have a great clean indoor air law here in the state. We are average when it comes to prevention and cessation funding, meaning the money that goes out to prevent our young people from ever starting smoking and helping people quit smoking. And then we really could use some work on our pricing of tobacco products and making sure that young people under the age of 21 don't have access to those products. And so we have some work to do.
What about the proliferance now suddenly of the hookahs and the vapes and the pens that someone will say, I'm using this to stop smoking, but it becomes almost a it's the same thing after a while. They're a year later and they're still smoking it just as much. Is that a soft introduction to tobacco to a lot of people now? Is that a problem for young people?
I think that we're finding a lot of young people are using those devices who might not have otherwise picked up a cigarette or other tobacco product. And so we have been providing a lot of education, encouraging people to utilize products that if they need to quit, to utilize products that are approved by the Federal Drug and Federal Food and Drug Administration rather than, products that don't have FDA approval at this point.
Over-the-counter products, do you recommend any of those? Can we find out information about them as well?
You can find out information about them on lung.org. We find that when individuals use a behavior change approach program and a quit aid, that they sometimes are more successful than if they use one or the other.
Okay. And you mentioned our grades here in the Mid-Atlantic region for the state of the air. Mm-hmm. And in considering the manufacturing and the cars and the sheer volume of people in this area, when you said we were doing better, is that doing better because we were dead last before, or are we doing better in the...
No, Delaware has put a lot of good measures in place. And unfortunately, sometimes the way the wind blows brings other states' pollution into Delaware. And, not that we always can't improve, but sometimes things are a little bit out of our control. And so we really still do have work to do. But I do want to say that we've put a lot of good measures in place here.
And we talked a little bit about having a smoke-free environment, but with smoking, especially smoking around children and secondhand smoke is still a big issue. Are you fighting that battle, too?
We definitely are fighting that battle, and we really try to educate families about the importance of making sure that when they have people to their homes, that they encourage people to smoke outdoors. You know, many restaurants now not only don't allow smoking indoors, but also outdoors. So I think, you know, we're becoming a society that expects non-smoking more as a norm rather than the way it used to be.
You mentioned families when someone comes into the home. Do you have programming for, I'm backing this up away from that totally now, when we go to your website and maybe I have a child who has asthma. Am I going to find tips there for how to have a healthier home for my child or getting my kid to adulthood safely?
You will find tips on how to really keep your child tobacco-free, how to keep your home tobacco-free, how to keep your home even, you know, from exposures to environmental pollution indoors and outdoors. Absolutely.
Well, when you mentioned radon, I'd forgotten that completely. Mm-hmm. So there are other things beyond tobacco that we should be looking at and being concerned about, aren't there?
Absolutely. There's a whole host of items that you could find at lung.org.
Okay. And as we're running out of time here, you want to give us any parting words? You want to start, Amanda? What would you like to leave us with? And of course, feel free to plug away at the Lung Force.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we'd love to have everyone come out and join us for the Lung Force Walk. It's a lot of fun. Again, it's October 15th, 11 a.m. at the Rehoboth Beach Bandstand. We'll have food. We'll have entertainment. We'll have a two-mile walk if you want to stretch your legs. It would be a great event for everyone to join us. I guess the thing that I would say is that, yes, smoking causes cancer, but air quality, genetics, and even the unknown are all factors. And the truth is, you don't have to touch a single cigarette to develop lung cancer. It can happen to anyone at any time, and it does. And by the time lung cancer is caught, it typically can be too late because less than half of those diagnosed will be alive 1 year later. So I really want to encourage people to get the scan. If you think you might be at risk, please go to lung.org and get information. The sooner you find out, the better. And to support those that are really trying to quit smoking, it's really important that we really kick this in the butt and we put a dent in these statistics.
And obviously, I'm going to guess that when you go in, you always remind your own physician, my parents or my father, my grandparent, my aunts and uncles have had this.
Absolutely. You have to be really open with your physician to let them know about your history and your family history. And for my younger brother and I in particular, we certainly grew up around our uncle smoking all the time. So we're very cautious. My brother used to enjoy the occasional cigar, and his very annoying older sister has convinced him to stop doing that just because we don't know. I mean, we've had 4 immediate family members all pass, and it is not a pleasant disease to die from, nor is it pleasant as a caregiver to watch. So absolutely, we are very vigilant about our health. We try to avoid smoking at all costs. And obviously give our time back to a great organization like the American Lung Association.
And Deb, what would you like to leave us with today? What should we be doing and how can we help you?
Well, I too want to stress the importance of going to Save by the Scan and taking the quiz, you know, making sure that everyone has the opportunity to make sure that they're at high risk, they're not at high risk. And if they, you know, do have the information come back, how to talk to their doctor about it. I think Amanda's point is really well taken. You can go to lung.org. There's a variety of information about lung diseases in general. You can pick pretty much any lung disease that you might be interested in or need to know more information about. And as I said, you're always welcome to call our lung helpline, which is 1-800-LUNG-USA.
That quiz, does that try to determine what your disposition might be from your history and your family?
It absolutely does. It's a very simple questionnaire, and if you answer a certain number of questions in a certain manner, it will tell you that you are high risk. And then, as I said, it will give you pointers to speak to your doctor about and make sure that they're up and aware of the information.
So after you've been terrified, you'll be proactive.
Well, we hope you're not terrified. You know, we want to make sure that we're encouraging and non-judgmental and empathetic about anyone who certainly is concerned about lung cancer.
And of course, the websites that you want to remember from this, savedbythescan.org and lung.org. You can also call 1-800-LUNG-USA, but all the information is at lung.org. My guests today have been from the American Lung Association, Deb Brown, the Executive Vice President for the Mid-Atlantic Region, and Amanda Carl, Board Member for the American Lung Association of Delaware. Again, the big event, the Lung Force Walk, will be held on October 15th. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.